Closer, the Entrepreneur's Circle.
Hey, I'm so glad you're here because I don't often get the opportunity to share with you exactly what I do and what we do here at On Air Brands. So we help the folks in our community and our clients to launch a podcast and then produce them on a weekly basis. We also help to promote each episode with close to a dozen social media posts that consist of quote cards, sound bites, and video clips. And then we post them for you on your socials automagically. So if you're a business owner with a ton on your plate, and a podcast just seems super overwhelming, I get it. We don't need one more thing to worry about. So let me and my team at On Air Brands do the heavy lifting each week so that you can focus on what you do best, which is to build your business, have more time to pour into your family and your community, or just plain chill and recharge. So feel free to email me at eric@onairbrands.com so that we can book time together to chat about how we can align with your mission and how you can align with ours, which is to make the world better. One mic at a time. Now back to the show.
David Meltzer, I want to, this is your life. I want to basically yeah. highlight some things that happened.
I hope we got a time.
We've got plenty of time. And then we're going to, like I said, parachute into a certain period of your life. And I want you to shed some light and highlight some things. So you grew up with a loving family. Your mother wanted to give you it all. She oftentimes couldn't afford it. So you set out to be rich to counter this, and you wanted to shower your mom with wealth, mainly a home, right? Her dream home. So you got into sports pre-med and then got into law with the goal to be rich. And you did accomplish that because you made your first million after 9 months out of law school. And in 95, you exited your company for $3.4 billion. Now, I want to fast forward even faster. We're going to go even quicker in the DeLorean here. The CEO of Samsung in the phone division. And then eventually, you ran Lee Steinberg's sports and entertainment company. Who, for those who don't know, sort of inside baseball, he is the real life inspiration for Jerry Maguire. A lot of people know that brand, that movie. So all that success, all of the winning there, you lost it all, right? To the tune of $100 million, maybe a little bit more. Over $100 million, folks. And you found yourself renting a house, renting furniture, renting your car. If you could travel back in time, Dave, what would you say to Dave in that moment, now that you know what you know?
There's two things that are going to heal this problem. One is wisdom combined with humility, because I had come from a place of pretending like I knew what I didn't know. You know, through all that success in your 20s and early 30s and having access to what billionaires couldn't even have access to, humility had left me. And so I was projecting my insecurity that I had to know what I didn't know. So I was too afraid, whether it was to board members or friends or family, of admitting that I was as lost as everyone else. And so I had projected an amount of arrogant ignorance that was beyond most people's measure. And so I would tell myself to seek through humility, wisdom, and then most importantly, have faith. I remember walking to my mom's house at that time to tell her I lost everything, but also that I didn't take my name off of her title, that she had to move. And all I could think about was this was going to destroy her. This is going to destroy me and our relationship. And none of that happened because my mom always had faith. My mom may have problems receiving and worthiness issues, but my mom always had faith that there was something bigger than her that loved, protect, and promoted her and her children. And I didn't have that faith. I remember telling my mom that I didn't believe in God. And she looked at me and she said, "Son, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God." And so looking back and what has gotten to me where I am today is the understanding of how important it is to shorten the distance of resistance that we create between us and our potential through wisdom in that radical humility, and even more radical humility to have more faith that there's simply something bigger than us that loves us more than our mom.
Yeah, I love all of that. I love the faith part especially because it often provides us, like you said, with humility, but then also creates an opportunity for us to have perspective, right? The zooming out, basically. Like whenever there's somebody really stressed in my life, I'll always say, zoom out into space and look at the earth, this blue marble that we're spinning on. Like, does it really matter?
Right.
Is it a big deal? So the version of you that had the monetary success, had the accolades, the respect, that obviously is what most people, 99.9% of people, would want to achieve. They wouldn't or couldn't care less about everything that you're discussing in the version of you now, because as I know you and love and respect this, what I believe are your core values, a couple of things are like vulnerability. I've learned so much from you as far as vulnerability. You spoke at one of our events a few years ago, and I was like, man, this guy is putting it all on the table. You told us a story about your father, which had me in tears, had everybody. It wasn't a dry eye in the room, and it was alarming, honestly, to me at the time, because I was a new entrepreneur. That vulnerability is a powerful way to build trust and to share your true self, but then also gratitude. So one of those two things, Dave, I'd love for you to expand on one or both.
Yeah, I'd like to expand on both, and let's start with gratitude.
Yeah,
because I think the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do. And I can't imagine anything that's more impactful and simple than saying thank you, thinking thank you, doing thank you, believing thank you, and feeling gracious or feeling thank you. It takes 0.1 seconds. Mm. It's free. Mm. But every single person on earth of any stature, any education, intelligence, inspiration, or intuition will tell you that gratitude is a foundational principle that has the most impact in their life. Gratitude allows you to find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything. And that's why we're here. Life is about lessons. The lessons will keep on coming until you learn them. Pain, struggles, setbacks, mistakes are indicators that you have a lesson to learn. They're not punishment. They're indicators that you can be promoted, protected, and loved. Gratitude is a hinge pin into everything for everyone, including abundance, which reminds us of our faith that there's more than enough of everything for everyone. But yet, although it takes 0.1 seconds, although it has that type of impact and credibility that everyone from Jesus to Einstein to Oprah, Obama, and Bush, and Trump even, will tell you how powerful gratitude is, yet it is almost nearly impossible to get someone to say thank you for 30 straight days. Mm-hmm. And I want that to sink in. If you're having difficulty finding the light, the love, and the lessons, remind yourself that the simple things to do are simple not to do. Therefore, find the simplest things to do that have the most impact and do them, even though they're simple. Now, vulnerability lies within the reconciliation of your faith and truth. What we find is people that are not vulnerable by telling the truth are creating separation between them and their potential. Your potential is the truth. The truth vibrates the fastest. We can only be aware that vibrates equal to or less than us. And so when we are at peace or ease and accept who we are. And I know it shocks people, especially entrepreneurs, when I get on a stage and say, you know, when I get to that line, I sat on my bed and I hated my wife, I hated my life, I hated my best friend, I hated my mom, and I hated my dad because they were liars, cheaters, manipulators, oversellers, and back-end sellers, especially my dad. And there was that jacket, the jacket that represented all of those things about my dad. And I realized I hated myself, that I was the cheater, the liar, the manipulator, the overseller, the back-end seller, and that I had to find gratitude and forgiveness and be accountable to learn lessons so I could live in spirit, inspired. Mm-hmm. Until I held the truth and spoke the truth, felt the truth, and believed the truth, nothing was going to happen because I created separation between me and the truth. And so I encourage people, and I remember telling Gary Vee when he wanted me to be a public figure on Instagram, I was like, I can't tell people that I went bankrupt. Yeah. And he's like, you have to, or this isn't going to work. That's who you are. No. People won't respect me. More people ask for my financial advice today than ever before, and more people know that I lost everything. Where's the irony in that? There isn't, because it's the truth. And I remember when I came back to Gary super excited going, oh my God, people like me more because I told them the truth that I was a loser, a liar, a cheater, and I lost everything because my values were awry. He's like, I go, I can't believe it. He goes, just wait to see what you tell people now that you know the power of the truth. And that's what I want to instill in everybody here. Not only the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do, and gratitude is the simplest, most impactful thing you can do, but the truth vibrates the fastest. So stick to the truth.
Mm-hmm. I love that. The courage that it takes to be vulnerable, right? To put the potential... The question I have really is the lessons that we learn through those mistakes and those failures... Do you start to share the stories before it's fully crystallized, or do you wait until you say, okay, I've extracted the most information that I can share here so people don't make the same mistake?
Well, that's why I think it's so important to do so many interviews, to have IG Lives, to have office hours, to do so much for me because I'm practicing. I actually learned that from Jay Leno. I found it fascinating. I hired Jay Leno for a corporate event. Back then, he was like $125,000 or $150,000 to come to a corporate event. And he came in, he flew in at night after the filming of the late night show, which you do earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he did the Tonight Show early in the day. Mm-hmm. And then he would fly in private, right in, and then he would do 2 hours and go home. It's like 8 to 10, right, at these corporate events. And he was booked like over 100 of them a year. Mm. And what he used those for, he only lived off that money, by the way, which I found fascinating as well. He saved all his NBC money. But what I found fascinating was even if he told me they wouldn't pay him that much, it was crucial to what he did because he would practice telling the jokes. Mm. And he would get feedback on what jokes would work for the next day.
Right.
Right? So he would get feedback on, hey, that joke works, this doesn't. And so he had his standard hour, and maybe he had a half an hour of jokes that were written for him to try out. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was so good. And so I believe in the same respect that you have to work through how to articulate some of your ideas, and they change over time.
Yeah.
And so the way that I look at it is, if I have a lesson that resonates with me, I'm going to keep practicing how to tell the story that allows the most people to resonate with that which resonates with me, which builds my community mm-hmm. of people who want to help each other and know people that can help each other, which builds a community for a lifetime of people that will buy from each other and sell for each other, which creates and lives and aligns with the abundance in which I'm trying to empower people to live in, to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun.
I love that. I'm about to land this bird, Dave, so strap in. We have a last segment that I love dearly because I grew up with a very, very powerful, toxic masculine father.
You have one of those too?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, exactly. We have that in common. But failure was not an option when I was growing up. So I have this segment here where we love to embrace the F word, meaning failure. So, just piggybacking off what you were saying or building on it, what is something that you may be working through that's a new failure that you're like, hey, use this forum, use this to exercise that, or something that you want to share with the audience in terms of a failure you had that you learned from?
You know, so interesting is the genetic and energetic inheritances are the hardest to find and to know. And so one of the greatest failures, and it's brought out, you know, some really funny comments on Instagram and social media, is that I literally spend a minimum of an hour a day, 7 days a week on my health. Mm. So balance, cardio, strength, all of these in combination thereof. I don't run every single day, or that would be negative in its outcome, you know, but I have a great balance, but I focus my attention and intention on my health an hour a day. But I'm 56 years old, and no matter what routine I did or how hard I worked at that every day, I didn't have the diet in order to facilitate being as fit as I should be. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a concierge doctor, I have a nutritionist, I have a formulator, I have all these people in my life, and yet everyone was telling me the same thing. I'm like, why do I keep gaining weight? Why do I have chubby face and chubby belly? Mm-hmm. And they're like, because you eat too much. You eat healthy. Mm-hmm. But I was up to still 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day. Yeah. And I have a high metabolism for my age, but that's a ridiculous amount of calories. So my failure was that for me, I teach abundance. And what I realized that everyone lives in snapshots of scarcity, not just, there's not just a blind, you're scarce and you're abundant. Mm-hmm. Right? It's the same thing. There's bleeding and feeding, it's a spectrum. And so the failure was that I thought that there was a blanket mindset of abundance and a blanket mindset of scarcity. Mm-hmm. And I started working through the snapshots of scarcity in my life. And one of them I was a huge failure at, which was I was an overeater because I was still carrying a genetic and energetic inheritance of there isn't enough food. And if I look back in my life with food, that I would, you know, six kids, single mom, food stamps, a really, you know, we had dinner last night. Incredible people.
Oh my goodness. How do you stay below 6,000, 5,000 calories right. when you have meals like that?
And I have them multiple times. Places. Right. And for me, the same excitement of eating a meal like that last night, shout out to Capital Grill, by the way, was two large French fries poured into a bowl for all six of my family members to share. Mm. I remember like so excited. Like I'd see the McDonald's bag. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm like, oh, and I'd eat so fast, and I want to get as much. And I started realizing that these snapshots of scarcity, even though you know I want to be the poster child of abundance, make a lot of money, help a lot of people, that I was carrying a snapshot of scarcity with eating. And no matter how hard I worked out, no matter what I spent on my health, it never would change, especially after 50. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge failure for me because I kept trying not to eat a lot. I kept trying, but it was energetically. I would tell myself, I am one of the most disciplined, consistent, persistent people in the world. I could take, you know, all my business, but yet there I was at 8 o'clock hitting those Doritos again. Mm-mm. Because I was carrying an energy that there may not be food. Mm-mm. And I'm working through that right now, the energetic shift, so that. And I'm proud of myself because I really put it as a priority failure to overcome, to find the light, the love, and the lessons, therapy, doctors that are teaching me about, you know, organic peptides and other things. You know, I find it so interesting, by the way, with, you know, Ozempic and peptides and all these people. I live in Orange County. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like plastic world. But I've never seen so many 50-year-old women and men like magically lose weight. And then you're like, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. I'm just working out super hard. Mm-mm. Right? So yeah. I'm utilizing every advantage to shift my energy. Yeah. And it's working. But it's still a failure for me. And it's something that I'm working on. So my lesson for everyone is pick out for yourself the snapshots of scarcity. Mm-hmm. You are not blanket abundance and you're not blanket scarce. Mm-hmm. We were joking around earlier, like I used to drive around 20 minutes to find gas for 2 cents less. Mm-hmm. I probably burned more gas and more time. I would have been much better off paying the 2 cents. And I see people that do that with so many different things. And that's the biggest failure right now for me.
Yeah, gotcha. Thanks for sharing that. And thanks for obviously the vulnerability. You remind me of, you know, putting that into perspective because you and I are in our 50s. You know, our parents, post-war era, canned goods, frozen orange juice, all that stuff, right? Finish everything on your plate. Don't you know there are starving people China. In Africa, yeah, China, right, whatever exactly. It was like, yeah. So my kids, I do the same.
Do you finish their plates for them?
I do. Yeah. I do. I do. Oh, how'd you know?
I did.
Yeah. I don't throw it into the garbage disposal. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
I'll eat it. Even though I don't want to eat it. It's gross. But you're right. That's a scarcity thing.
It's totally a snapshot of scarcity.
Yeah, I need to work on that. Thanks for pointing that out. Okay, so last question, and this is an easy one / hard, is in one word, David, how do you help people?
Kindness.
That was too easy. That's too easy.
See, it's better to be kind than anything else. Kind to your past self, your present self, and your future self. And you know how you are kind to your present, past, and future self? Is by doing good deeds. Do the best you can, learn lessons, and have fun. And I promise you, it will exponentially provide the outcomes that you want, a divine direction of living in a better place, a better situation with better people, in a better life.
I love it. I love it. I love you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for just being you. The best way that people can reach out to you or your team
I'd love to offer your entire community my book. So I will sign my book. I will send it to you. I'll pay for shipping and the book. So it's not a street hustle. Get a book free, pay $10 for shipping. I'll do everything. Just email me directly. I get my own emails. David@dmeltzer.com, David@dmeltzer.com. If you forget the email, David@dmeltzer.com, Google David Meltzer. Luckily, I'm everywhere. I got a great team that's giving us omnipresence, but I'm here to provide value and service. My name means beloved servant. Let me be a beloved servant to you and your community. Thank you, Eric.
Love it. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.